Excuse me, sorry, technical difficulties. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Today's topic is battling depression. And I thank you all for sticking around. Apparently it was a good week to split between the meetings, but it's good to see you all here. It is the second week in a row that I've spoken, so maybe they got enough of me last week and just decided to move along. Psalm 42:5 says, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we ask for you to speak this morning, this afternoon. We ask that you would be teaching our hearts and instructing us. Lord, the statistics say that there is one of us that is likely battling depression now, and that more than one of us will be depressed at some point this year. And Lord, I pray that the words that are spoken this afternoon would be your words, would be words of truth that are instructed by your Spirit, controlled by your Spirit, and received through your Spirit. Lord, that the intent of the words would only be understood in love, and that by no means would this message come from a place of pride, a place of condemnation, a place of judgment, but Lord, as it is intended, a place of humility and impotence and love. And Lord, I pray that you would provide the power, that you would provide the truth, and that you would convey the love. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts, and that you would touch us, and that you would relieve us in this battle that is so easy to fall into, and is so common to spiral us further down because of the natural tendencies of reaction to this battle. Lord, we love you. We look to you. We are grateful to you that you are a God of all comfort. We call on you today to comfort hearts and to work in our lives. It's in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. As a brief outline and summary, these are the main topics that we'll be discussing today. Start with some introductory thoughts, mostly to tell you how little I know, to point you to people that might know more about certain aspects of this issue. Talk about prayer and the importance of prayer in times of depression. To talk about truth and the importance of truth in times of depression, and to talk about community and the importance of accountability and support in times of depression. And I'll take all of those at the end and put them into application of what we should do while we're not depressed for the times when we might become depressed. Because a lot of times depression is cyclic, and we know that there are times when we'll go through high points and a low point is on its way. And there's a lot of the battle against depression that we need to win in the high points, because in the low points, it's really hard. It's really hard to see how to battle and how to win. And then we'll talk about application in the low times and what that looks like. And I pray that the Lord would be able to use something here. So, some introductory thoughts about depression. I got these from a psychiatry website. Depression is a common and serious medical illness that negatively affects how you feel, the way you think, and how you act. it is believed to also be treatable. Depression causes feelings of sadness or a loss of interest in activities you once enjoyed. It can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems and decrease your ability to function at work and at home. So again, take these words. All of these thoughts are from the world's perspective. I don't mean to imply that I know better. But understand that I don't believe this was written from a perspective of God's thoughts. Symptoms that we would look for in depression would be feeling sad or having a depressed mood, a loss of interest or pleasure, changes in appetite, trouble sleeping or sleeping too much, loss of energy or increased fatigue, an increase in purposeless physical activity or slowed movements or speech, feeling worthless or guilty, difficulty thinking, concentrating, or making decisions, thoughts of death or suicide. The clinical definition of these says that these have to last greater than 2 weeks, and they have to come on and be an onset of this occurring, not something something in a greater condition than what your baseline is. Maybe you're generally kind of a sad person, but you feel a more intense sadness for longer than 2 weeks. I encourage anyone who sees these symptoms in their lives, if they haven't thought about it before, if they haven't realized it before, to seek help. Especially if anyone is thinking about suicide. Especially if anyone is finding themselves just lacking pleasure in things and feeling like life isn't worth it. The statistics say that 1 in 15 adults will battle depression in any given year, and 1 in 6 people will experience depression at some time in their life. There is a high degree of this that says if your family member has it, it's likely for you to get it too. Within that first circle of your family, if one of your family members has it, there's a 40% likelihood that you would have it as well. Some other factors to consider, and some of these were on that site. Some of them were things that I've heard that people wanted me to mention. And most of this list is talking about the things that I have no ability to help you with in depression. So there are parts of depression that could come from a medical illness, and it would be important to go see your doctor and talk about the depression because it could be a symptom of something else, like thyroid or a brain tumor or something like that. It would be important to know that comes from that physical aspect and not from a spiritual depression, which I believe is what we should talk about today. It could come from a vitamin deficiency. In fact, there's what's called seasonal affectation disorder, which says that during the winter you get less sunlight, you get less vitamin D. Vitamin D helps your mood, and therefore you feel more depressed in the winter. So it could be as simple as supplementing some vitamin D to help you feel better during the winter times. Someone told me that gut health is very important. I don't doubt it, but I don't know anything about dietary effects other than how not to diet. I'm really good at that. So keep in mind that the things that you eat can affect your mood. And maybe if you've been in a pattern of eating the wrong things, it's time to go and refresh that or to talk to a nutritionist about what's better. There is the possibility of a chemical imbalance in your body. And knowing your body and how it reacts to things, knowing how things are occurring in your life and what you should expect to respond to something in a right way versus how your body naturally wants to respond to those things is important. And it is possible that a doctor can help to balance some of those chemicals, some of those hormones that affect how we feel. It's an illness. It's a real illness that can be treated. It may just be that we're too sedentary, that we're stuck, that we've been in a dark room, we've been lying down, we've been going through something, we've been stressed at work, we've been sitting at a desk for 50-hour weeks for 3 weeks in a row, and we just need to get moving, and we need to have a change of attitude physically that will help us with how we feel emotionally or in terms of depression. I'm not going to talk about any of those things because I believe there is another aspect to depression that is spiritual, and I believe that's the aspect that the Bible talks about and that we want to cover today. And there's an aspect of depression, there's an aspect of getting down or low that can be remedied by how we respond to God and the truths that he has for us. And so I want to focus and think about some of those truths that we see. So if you'll turn with me to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, I believe, is a great text written from someone who is depressed. Or perhaps someone's. It says it's written by the sons of Korah. But this psalm and Psalm 43, coupled together, talk about some of the feelings that we endure during depression. And give some right attitudes and some right considerations about what to do. What to do to seek alleviation for that depression. So Psalm 42 and going on to Psalm 43. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go along with a throng and lead them in the procession of the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. O my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the sound of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have rolled over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As a shattering of my bones, my adversaries revile me while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling place. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The first theme that I want to consider in this battle of depression is prayer, and we're going to point out some thoughts from that text that we just read that point us to prayer in these times of depression. In Psalm 42:6, we hear the psalmist pray, "Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore, I remember you." Psalm 42:9 says, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Psalm 43:1 says, vindicate me, O God, for you are the God of my strength, verse 2. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O, send out your light and your truth, let them lead me, and then I will go and praise you to God, my exceeding joy. And so the pattern, a pattern that I see in Psalm 42 is to address God. And honestly, these prayers to God are not your typical prayers to God, right? They are very honest, very vulnerable prayers, very accusatory prayers. In this time of depression, they pray to God and they say, God, why have you forgotten me? Has God forgotten him? No, he hasn't. These prayers are theologically and doctrinally unsound. But they're what he's feeling. He is connected to God. He is vulnerable before God. He's praying to God and he's saying what he believes to be true and laying his heart out before God and seeking God's face. When we are in a time of depression, it's very easy to think this way, right? I have been forgotten. I have been rejected. I feel like my bones are broken. I feel like I'm going through something that no one else in the world has experienced. And none of my friends understand. My husband doesn't understand. My wife doesn't understand. Nobody understands me. Nobody gets it. Tell God about it. Pray to Him. Don't let go of Him. Have faith in Him. Trust Him. And lay it before Him. Say it in the words that your heart feels. Say it in the way that you understand it to be. And cling to Him and ask Him to help. But don't forget about Him. Pray to Him because He is able to change things. He is able to answer this prayer, to pick you up, to raise you up. Jonah is another great example of depression. I don't know if you've ever really thought about it in this light, but when Jonah's on the boat on the way to Tarshish, and the storm is there, and they cast lots, and they say, whose fault is this? And Jonah says, well, I'm running away from the God who created the sea. And they're like, what are you doing? What shall we do to help you? And he's like, just throw me over. He's asking to be killed because he prefers to die than to go to Nineveh. He has gotten to such a low point, and many preachers have pointed this out, that you will see Jonah goes down, right, many times in the book of Jonah. He starts listening to the words of God. He goes down to the port. He gets in the boat. He goes down into the belly of the boat to sleep. The storm comes, he goes down into the water. He goes down in the belly of the fish, and the fish takes him to the depths of the sea. And Jonah struggles through this idea of, I don't want to do what God's given me to do. The situation that I'm in is too great, and I can't take it. I'd rather be dead than be in this situation. And so when he asks to be thrown into the sea, instead of repenting, it's an indication of this depression that he's in, these suicidal thoughts that he has. He wants to die. He calls, in Jonah 2:2, he prays from the belly of the fish. And he says, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for him help, for help from the depth of Sheol, and you heard my voice. It's the turning point in Jonah's story, in Jonah's life. It's not the last time that he'll be a little bit low, right? Maybe not to the depths of where he is in this instance. But here, from the depths of where he is, he prays to God and God helps him. You know, maybe in your depression, maybe in this time of struggle that you're going through, what you need is to be vomited out of a fish's mouth. You need a great upheaval of your life. You need something to happen that is out of your control. You need God to pull you out and help you in a way that you don't expect and that you don't understand. And God is the only one that's able to do that. I can't make the fish throw you up. I can't do it. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it is. But God knows. And God's able to help. He's able to help. Let's pray to Him. Continue to pray to Him. Beg Him. Plead to Him. Keep Him. Keep focusing on Him. Psalm 143, verse 7 is another example of praying. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will become like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. I take refuge in you. Again, this example of praying from a place of clinging to God, and only the thing that you have left is God. And a lot of times we feel that way in depression. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in the proper time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. We pray to God because he's able to fix it, but we pray to God also because he cares. Because he wants to. Because he wants to hear your thoughts about how you think he rejected you. He cares. He wants to. He wants to know these things. Philippians 4:6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Take all of that anxiety that you're carrying, all of that worry that you have, all of those burdens that you think are too heavy for you, and say, "God, here they are. I'm casting my anxieties on you. I'm praying to you. I'm asking that you would take care of it because I want to let go of it. I don't want to hold it anymore. I'm going to write it down. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to throw it away. It'll be yours to handle, and I don't want any of it anymore because I can't." Second Samuel 22 says, "You are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord illumines my darkness." From another translation, the idea is that the Lord shines light in his dark places. And so in those dark times, the Lord would reveal the light that he's missing. The darkness that he feels that's so overwhelming, the Lord brings light in that time. So another aspect that I wanted to think about in battling depression is that many times when we're in a period of depression, there are whispers that tell us it's too hard. It's too difficult. You're not worthy. You have no way out. You brought this on yourself. You can't talk to God because you are unworthy. And you get into this downward spiral of your mind telling you things that depress you to make you more depressed, and then your mind tells you more things. Or external forces from your mind, perhaps demonic forces, come and oppress you and push down on you and say, "Don't tell anybody about this. They're just going to think that you're weak, that you're broken. Don't pray to God. It's not worth it. You can't trust God to help you. He's never helped you before. It's just getting worse and worse and worse." And I firmly believe, and I think that it's very important for us to shout to our soul, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why do you despair within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence." That we need to give ourselves a good talking to and say, "Stop it. Soul, stop it. Here's the truth. I'm going to focus on the truth. I'm going to focus on what's real." In battles with anxiety, I've heard that they say, "Open your eyes and look at something and verbally say what is going on so that you can process reality and stop thinking about anxiousness of things that you don't know anything about." So you look around and you say, "It's a beautiful day today. The wind is blowing in the trees. The time is passing. The spring is coming. I can feel it in the air." And you focus on the real things and stop thinking about the things that you've set up in your mind that make you anxious and that you're worried about. From a spiritual perspective, we do the same thing, but it means that we have to go a level further. It's not just looking around at what's here and what's real, but understanding that there's a greater reality even beyond that. That I know things about God and his care for me and his plan for me that have been revealed to me in Scripture that I can hold on to, and I know that they're true, and I know that they're great, and I know that they're better than the situation feels like where I am today. And I can't trust what I feel, what I taste, what I see, what I smell, what I hear, what I think, because all of those are limited by a broken flesh that is subpar reality to the greater reality of who God is. And so in our text that we read in Psalm 42, there are these echoes of "hope in God, for I shall again praise him. I remember you from the land of Jordan, from the peaks of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. I remember these things in the past, of the great things that you've done. I remember the sound of your voice and the booming greatness of who you are as you've revealed yourself in the past. And I'll think about these things. And I'll think about your loving kindness in the daytime and your song as it will be with me in the night. And then again in verse 11, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Psalm 43:2 says, you are the God of my strength. 43:4 says, I look forward to go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. That there is a greater truth about God that overwhelms the situation. Amen. And then in Psalm 43:5, well, guess what it says? It says, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I love this. I love this series of verses because so often when we're in depression, you know what? It's not just going to take one time of speaking truth to say, oh, what was I thinking? That was silly. But it requires reiteration. It requires echoing the truth, repeating the truth, being diligent to continue to state the truth. Because right after the truth comes, the echoes and the whispers come and they say, no. You're still in despair. You are so downcast. It's not good enough. And so you say it again. And you say it again. And you speak the truth again. So in the next verses, I've set forth a list of verses that I found. And many of these were already aggregated on a website. But verses that are good to hold on to when the times are low, when the times are deep. Verses about God being faithful. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. That God has been victorious in times of wailing and of sackcloth and in restoring joy to others. The righteous cry out. The Lord hears him. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me when you are weary and burdened. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. 2 Timothy 1:7, he doesn't expect us to be fearful, but he will give us power, love, and self-discipline. John 10:10, he's come that they may have life and have it to the full. Joshua 1:9, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. The Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid or do not be discouraged. 2 Corinthians 1:3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. I love that passage. I love that passage in 2 Corinthians 1. We're going to come back to it later. Because it just keeps saying comfort, 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 comfort. And if you read it enough, you're like, is the word comfort weird or am I just saying it too much? But God cares about comforting you, about compassion, about reaching out to you. And it just reiterates it and repeats it. And the context is in the time of struggle, in the time of imprisonment for Paul and his companions. That God is the God of comfort, and that those times of struggle are teaching Paul how to share comfort with others. God wants to comfort us. The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. God's reaching out his hand to help us as we stumble. Truths. Sorrow is temporary. Psalms 23:4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yes, we go through dark times. Yes, we go through deep valleys. But God's rod and his staff are there to comfort us and to help us through. Psalm 35, his anger lasts only for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. Even if these sorrows are brought about by God, even if it's a sorrow and a sadness that is because of sin and because of a need for repentance, God is working through these things and has a goal for the other end. And he doesn't want this to be forever. He doesn't want it to ruin you. He doesn't want it to tear you down. He wants to pull you through it. And in the converse to that, joy is lasting. We already read Psalm 35. His anger lasts for a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Rejoicing comes in the morning. Isaiah 61, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you. Psalm 42, he lifted us out of the mud and the mire. He set our feet on a rock and gave us a firm place to stand. John 16:33, take heart, he has overcome the world. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Again, Jeremiah 29, written at the front end of a low time for Israel, of a depressed time for Israel, it said, this is going to be a hard time, but go through it. Push through it because I have plans for you on the other side. Because I want to see you rise. Revelation 21, he wins in the end. He takes away pain and death and tears. And all of those things will have passed away. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing will separate us from the love of God, Romans 8:38 and 39. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Cling to these things. Hold them in front of you. Repeat them in front of you. Post them on your walls. And know that this is the truth about joy. It's the truth about the plan of God, that there's victory, that there's more, that there's hope. Because so often when you're in that time, it feels hopeless. It feels like there's nothing that can help you. But God says, I'm not a God of hopelessness. I'm a God of hope. I'm a God of joy. And I have a plan for victory. I have a plan beyond this time. The last aspect that I want to consider is community. Battling depression through the idea of community, accountability, or having someone alongside you. In our theme text in Psalm 42, verse 4, part of this is kind of an indication of his depression. It says, I remember when I used to go with the throng to worship you and had a great time. And now he feels like he can't. He feels like he can't go to be with God. He can't go to the temple. He can't rejoice with joy, that he's not in this place of community with God and of community with other believers because of his depression. And the reality is that I believe that one of the hardest things about depression is the isolation that it draws you to. The feeling that you are different, that you are unique, that you are special, that you are burdened with something greater than anyone else can understand. And they're just going to trivialize it. And they're just going to say, just get out of your head. And maybe people will say that. But I want us to understand that depression is better dealt with a friend. That the struggle is something that is intended to be shared with someone else. To be shared with the church, to be shared with someone coming alongside you and listening and helping and maybe not doing anything, but praying with you and allowing you to be broken and weeping and to weep with you. In Psalm 43:3, the prayer of the psalmist is, send out your light and your truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Perhaps I'm extrapolating a little bit. Perhaps I'm extending a little bit. But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. And when he prays for light and truth to come in, what does that look like in our world today? What does it look like for someone praying that light and truth will come in and help them through the dark times? I think it looks like you and I feeling the prompting of God to go into that person's life and to share truth with them and to be a friend to them and to help them through it and to bear their burdens with them and to weep with them as they weep. May we be the answer to this prayer. May we be the light of the world shining in those dark times. Going back to 2 Corinthians 1, the end of what we read before says, we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. I told you, I can't say the word comfort after I preach on this passage. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of your sufferings, so also you are sharers of our comfort. The idea, the understanding here is that we go through suffering, we go through hard time in order to experience comfort, so that now that we have that comfort from God, we can take that comfort to God and we can comfort someone else. It is our goal, it is our responsibility, it is our gift that we have had suffering. We have been sharing in the suffering, we've been given the suffering so that we can learn comfort and we can share that comfort with others as they have need. Romans 12:6 says we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let's use our gifts to the fullness, right? He who teaches in his teaching, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, verse 10. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, and practicing hospitality. And verse 15, which I love and has just been echoing in my head for years, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Let's be this church. Let's be this church. Who is willing and able to understand the gift that God has given us, to use it effectively, diligently, purposefully, in a training way, in order to reach out to others and to share with them and to help them in their time of need. So that we may rejoice with those who rejoice. Praise the Lord. Let's have more parties. Let's do it. Baptisms should be an all-out party. They really should. Should be rocking this place. It should be awesome. And let's weep with those who weep. Let's understand when there's something festering in a body part that's causing us to limp as a church. And let's rush to supplement that body part, to pray for that body part, to come alongside that body part, to help in whatever way is possible, and to offload some of the pain, to share the burden, to take some of the effort that would normally have fallen to that person or the struggle that they're going through. First Corinthians 12 talks about gifts. Talks about some really awesome gifts. And at the end of it, it says, earnestly desire those greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. What's that more excellent way? Love. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and I don't have love, I've become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Somebody pointed out to me, I thought that this was always just kind of a useless, kind of like, hey, you're making a lot of noise, you're kind of showy, it's not a big deal. Clanging gongs or clanging cymbal, noisy gongs are annoying. If you're trying to use your spiritual gift without love, you are annoying people, not helping them. You're pushing them down. What does love look like? Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. Furthermore, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Let's love one another. Let's bear each other's burdens. Let's bear with one another. Let's hope with one another. Let's lead each other to endure through hardships and show this true love. So, some application. In the high times, in the times when it's not so much a struggle, focus on the things that need to happen. Grow in our faith. Okay, and I do want to focus on growing. I'm not saying that the reason that you got depressed is because you were not faithful enough. But the path out of depression, the path out of struggle, involves relying on God and trusting Him and expecting Him to do and to continue to do what He promised to do. And it's easy to lose faith in those hard times. So let's work on that. Let's memorize a list of truths to hold on to. Let's cultivate or develop an abiding trust in God and what it's like to abide in Him and to be sensitive to Him and to feel His presence and to know when He's speaking to us and to bear fruit through Him and to cultivate that open conversation with God. Always be talking to Him openly and vulnerably and humbly, so that when the hard times come, we're quick and ready to talk to Him about it again. And it doesn't drive us to a period of silence until we're very deep into the depression and we can't even come to the point of speaking to Him again. In the high times, reach out. Share the fact that you go through cyclic depression with the church or with someone. Maybe you don't have to stand up here and say, I get depressed every once in a while. I just want everybody to know about it. No, I mean, find the community around you and be vulnerable to them. Be willing to share with them and to say, you know, I need help. I need help because I have a natural tendency to focus too heavily on the things that make me anxious and the things that bring me down. And I get into these spirals. And I can't get out of them. And I end up in a really bad place. Let us know. Share it. And church, let's be ready to hear that kind of thing. To hear more than, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, brother. How was your week? No, let's be in each other's lives. Let's be listening. Let's be willing to hear that things are not so peachy keen. And that there are struggles. Find someone who can share the comfort of Christ. Find someone who's been through the struggle and has that comfort in reserve. Find someone who's willing to or ready to come alongside you in those times when you need comfort. Consider a plan. Like, think about writing down some truths to hold, to speak to yourself, to talk to your soul. Soul, why are you downcast? Hope in God. Here's what I know about God. Prepare a plan for a comforter. Prepare to have someone ready to help you. Someone that might even be willing to say to you, this is silly, but in the appropriate way. In the way that they know you. In the way that you can trust them. In the way that you can listen to their words when you don't want to listen to anybody. And that you can be willing to know that they're speaking from love, even if their words sound painful, because it is very common to sound, for someone's words meant in a well-intended way, to sound painful when you're depressed, and like they don't care. And determine a focus goal for overcoming. Determine what it is that you want to think about that is the path out. What do I look forward to doing? What can I do to share with someone else? What can I do to learn from this comfort? As David says, I long to praise you, or not David, the psalmist. As the psalmist says, I look forward to praising you with the lyre, to God my exceeding joy. I want to move forward to this time that's ahead of me. And in the low times, it's not all that different. I don't think. It's just kind of using those things that you've set up in the high times. Have faith. Speak to your soul with the list of truths to hold on to. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Trust in God. Hope in God, for I will yet praise him. That's actually a song. I got it mixed up. But there's a song that says, hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. That comes from Psalm 42, but apparently misquotes it slightly, and therefore Michael misquotes it on his final slide. Continue the open conversation with God. Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? Be willing to tell God things that don't sound like the pretty prayers of church, but to be honest with him and to be open with him. Reach out. Share your burdens with the church in the low times. Seek your comforter, the individual whom you trust to speak to your soul honestly, pray with you faithfully, weep with you, and love you. Earnestly seek to overcome. Only feed the good. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, excellent, and worthy of praise, dwell on these things. It's a good thing to hold. Like it's hard to tell yourself when you're in depression, but it's a good thing to hold on to. I'm not going to listen to the whispers. I'm not going to listen to the hard times. I'm not going to listen to the bad things. I'm going to focus and dwell on the good. Focus on an overcoming goal. I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And this last one, actively give thanks. In Philippians 4:6 that we read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known unto God. Force yourself to be thankful. Force yourself to understand that there is something to be thankful for. Find it. Find that thing to be thankful for. Find that thing to appreciate, to again, not dwell on the hard things, to not dwell on the low, but to push through and to seek the good. I prayed this way. I hope everyone understands it, but I absolutely want us to be victorious in our times of depression, most of all. And I want you all to know that I love you. And that I believe everyone here loves you, and that they want to see you and help you through these times. And if there are times of depression, if there are struggles today, that we want to see you victorious, to see you overcome, and to fill you with love, and to weep with you, and to share comfort with you. And everything that I've said today is from a desire in my limited ability to understand how this may work, to see overcoming, to see victory, and to share love. And if my words didn't come out that way, please allow them to be interpreted by the truth now. I love you. I hate depression. I hate what it does to people. I hate what it does to families. I hate what it does to spiral us downward into a place where we just end up not being ourselves. And I love you. And God loves you. He does it a lot better than I do. And he has a plan for you. He has a plan to move past this, for victory, to have those tears go away. Let's pray. God, I thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to share love, the opportunity to remind us all of these magnificent truths about the greatness of who you are. Lord, for anyone who is battling depression and struggling through the hard times, and Lord, whoever is hearing these thoughts echo in their mind and perhaps is even feeling themselves get angry at the simplicity of how I describe things, Lord, I pray that your spirit would comfort. I pray that your love would overwhelm and that you would wrap them in your arms and hold them with your mighty hand. That you would lift them out of the mire and out of the darkness, that you lead them through the valley of the shadow of death. that you would comfort them, that you would be the God of all comfort in each situation, that you would accomplish great things, and that you would allow us to see victory and allow us to see the truth of these promises enacted in our lives as we trust in you. I believe you to be a great God. I believe you to be the solution to depression, the solution to our ailments, the solution to everything in our lives, and the powerful God who is able to work wonders. And I firmly believe you to be the God who cares and the God who comforts. And so, Lord, I pray that you would, for whoever is hearing today, that you would stir their hearts with the comfort of your love and the power that raised Jesus from the dead and made him the head of the church. He is the fullness, that the church should be the fullness of him who fills all in all. Lord, help us to take up that mantle. Help us to take up that effort to be loving, to be rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep, practicing the gifts that you've given to us effectively and powerfully to the accomplishing of your purpose in our midst and to those around us. God, I praise you for making something out of this presentation. I thank you for your love and your power. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.